Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome everyone to the 2016 CFL season preview teleconference series. Joining us today from the Edmonton Eskimos are Vice President of Football Operations and General Manager Ed Hervey, as well as Head Coach Jason Moss. Today, we'll go straight to a Q&A format. John, could you please open the lines for questions?
Thank you. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing star 1. You may cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. Please press star 1 if you have a question. There will be a brief pause allowing you to register. First question is from Terry Jones of the Edmonton Sun. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'll start with Ed here. Ed, could you articulate to Edmonton fans the extent that you believe that you'll have the kind of replacements in place to be able to repeat as Grey Cup champions despite all the losses and players and coaches, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, the focus is never on repeating. The focus is on this year's version of the Grey Cup. You know, with changes happens, whether you win or lose. I think I have great confidence in the staff that Jason has assembled. I have great confidence in Jason as a head coach. You know, players come and go as well. You know, and just the evolution of sport. You don't, nothing remains the same, but we're very optimistic about the season ahead. We have our core players that are still here. We have Mike Riley, we have Adarius, we have Odell, we have a long list of guys that we have great faith in. And then that with a group of young players coming in with an opportunity to showcase their abilities, we feel good about the upcoming season.
And this is an extension to that. Do you think Edmonton, and I mean, the reason I mentioned repeating is, it's not every year in position to do that. But do you think Edmonton should be considered to be the favorite to win the West, or how do you see the West, actually, with all the changes in Saskatchewan, Dickinson and Calgary, Wally and B.C. and all that? It looks like a pretty interesting division.
Well, all my years of being in the CFL, the Western Division has always been the most difficult division. It's always been the most competitive division, and I don't see any change to that. I mean, you got great coaches throughout from team to team. The rosters are pretty loaded, and I think there's such parity in our division that, it's going to make for an exciting season. I mean, you would imagine that, there's going to be some teams that are probably going to step up and play a little better. I think there'll be some teams that'll find their way. The objective for the Edmonton Eskimos is to come out, play our brand of football, be consistent. You need health. You got to have depth, and more importantly, you got to get out there and execute and be efficient and not get penalties. And if you do those things, then you have a great chance. But our division, this West Division, has always been tough, and I don't see any changes to that.
And from your point of view, Jason, my last question here. You went against the Eskimos last year in the Grey Cup. Now they're your team. How do you analyze what you have at this point, at least on paper?
Well, on paper, we're athletic. We're a big team. We've got the continuity back for the most part. They're winners. They finish. Those are the big things I saw, and they have a lot of character. I know that from the locker room and the type of guys that Ed has assembled. So we have a core group that I believe will allow us to be successful this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Chris Schultz of TSN. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, thanks for doing this. Our question to Coach Moss. Coach, what's your vision for your team? What makes you proud as a head coach? Is a team with exceptional toughness, with execution ability, athletic ability, focus? Like, if you could sum it up in descriptive words, your vision for your football team that would make you proud as a head coach?
Well, first and foremost, I want a competitive team. I want an intelligent team. I want a team that can protect the quarterback, protect the ball, and limit penalties. I mean, that's what I think you're looking for first and foremost. But the character on our team is what Edmonton's all about and has always been about. And so that's where I always start. From there, when you have a good group of guys that enjoy each other in the locker room, are respectful in the community, respectful to the coaches and players themselves, and then go out and are super competitive. Those are recipes for me that I believe, athleticism and all that, generally when they come up to play professional football, they're athletic. You know, so it's the other core values that I believe separate the Edmonton Eskimo players, and that's what we'll look for.
And follow up for Ed Hervey. Then, Ed, if you see a guy who isn't playing within that system, that isn't necessarily feeding what the coach wants, let's say he doesn't get along in the locker room, he has a little bit too big of an ego, then how do you handle those scenarios? Do you bring the player in to develop that chemistry? Or if you have somebody who's a great football player but not necessarily a great teammate, how do you handle that situation?
Well, Chris, our environment here is one that, you know, those kind of players, first of all, a lot of them are not invited into our environment. And then those players who are great football players who show a lack of character, usually our locker room character is so strong that our veterans pretty much can handle that. And that's what separates good teams from the average teams, is that your veterans are able to manage those personalities just as well as the coaches are. If it ever gets to a situation where it gets to my desk, I mean, I think it'll be already pretty much handled. I mean, I believe in the head coach. I mean, that's where it starts. If a player has to, has any type of character issues, you know, the head coach is the one who's responsible for the players when they're out there, and that's where I leave it. I'm not the one to interfere with what goes on. You know, I'm more of a, you know, sounding board. If the player gets to me, you know, I'm putting a ticket in his hand, and he's just getting a firm explanation as to, you know, we just don't do those things here in Edmonton.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Barry of Post Media Edmonton. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is a question for Ed Hervey. Ed, what has to happen in 2016, I guess, for the season to be considered successful by the club?
Just play our brand of football. You know, you go out there, play hard, play consistent, play the kind of football that we expect. I think, our fans to be entertained. I think, you want to obviously go out there and you want to win games. You know, the only thing you can do to equal what you did last year is winning a championship, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a failure if you don't, right? Because how many teams win back-to-back championships? And, you know, championships aren't easy to win. You know, we feel fortunate here in Edmonton to have done it, but we also feel fortunate to have a group that understands the targets on their back by the rest of the league. But, you know, a consistent level of play, staying disciplined, and playing our brand of football, you know, and obviously you want to be on the plus sides of wins. That's what we're in the business for. But, I haven't put any, major, goals for the team to do and that they have to live up to, but ultimately you ask all nine teams what their ultimate goal is, and the ultimate goal is to win the championship, and that's what we're striving for, just like the other eight teams are. And we just we want to make sure that we're a player in it, and then we have a regular season where we're going to take step by step and make that a possibility for ourselves.
Thanks. My other question is for Jason. Jason, are you excited to be involved in the Battle of Alberta again?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I grew up on, I guess, as a player, and missed it as a coach. You know, having gone to Toronto and Ottawa, those rivalries. You know, Toronto Hamilton's a pretty good rivalry, and then Ottawa, you'd say Montreal, but nothing's quite like the Battle of Alberta. Very excited to be back and a part of that, and looking forward to that, particularly because we only play Calgary twice, and it seems to be on Labor Day this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Andrew of Yahoo Sports Canada. Please go ahead.
Hi, one question for each of you. First for Jason, I'm wondering, how do you see your role as head coach? How much time do you intend to spend with each of the offense, the defense, and the special teams?
Well, right now, I mean, I can't spend equal parts because I'm the offensive coordinator as well, so I'll be spending most of my time with the offense, installing plays in meetings, reviewing the plays with the players, and then ultimately, helping my offensive staff put together a game plan each week. So that limits my role with the special teams and the defense, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's less important to me. I'm going to definitely make my time to listen and be involved with what the defense and special teams does. But I have full faith in Corey and Mike to game plan and execute what they want with the players.
For sure. Thank you very much. And question for Ed. There's a lot of discussion this offseason about hiring coaches from other teams and compensation. How do you feel about where the league has landed on that now?
Look, I don't want to get fined, so I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jeff Craver at CFL.ca. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to ask each of you a question about James Franklin. First, Jason, what are your first impressions of him after minicamp, and how do you see his long-term prospects as a quarterback in the CFL?
My impressions after minicamp is that he did some work in the offseason. He's been diligent with his studying, the offense, his preparation, throwing, physically he looked great. Mentally, he looked sharp. He was sharper than I felt. I guess his sharpness of the offense and learning the offense became better over the course of the last 3 months. So I'm excited for him. I think his sky's the limit in the league. Just needs an opportunity at that point. And no one knows or can forecast when that can happen.
Okay, thanks, Jason. And Ed, I mean, what was it that stuck out for you with James when you brought him in? And how do you see his progression unfolding so far from year one to two and then moving forward?
I mean, James obviously has a big arm. He's a very intelligent quarterback. Actually, we're looking at him right now. He's throwing on the field with Adarius Bowman and a couple of the other receivers. So, obviously he's shown that he's a hard worker. But every step as a young quarterback in this league, you want them to gain new heights, right? So I think this is an opportunity for him to after being familiar with the league and having some games under his belt, that he'll have a chance to go out there, compete at a high level. And, we have expectations of him to, take his game to the next level. But keep in mind that, we also want him to continue to grow and learn. And the development of quarterbacks in this league is extremely important. This is a quarterback-driven league, and I have full faith in Jason's ability to develop, Franklin as a quarterback, and we have full faith in Franklin's ability to learn, grasp, and understand, and more importantly, be a team player, as he is a good group of quarterbacks.
Okay, thanks. And if I may just follow up, if you have a young quarterback who's 24 years old, a guy that's from Texas, spending his off season in Edmonton, does that mean a lot for a young guy's development? Because you don't see that a lot with some of these younger guys and quarterbacks around the league.
I think that's it says a lot for what we have here in Edmonton. I think it shows that our community has become important to our players again. It's something that we've been working on for the last few years. A big project of mine personally was to make sure that this was a place for players to not only feel good about being on our team, but feel good about being accepted in this community. I think, again, that's one of those things that sets Edmonton apart from other places, is that a young player like Franklin can come in and recognize that immediately and take ownership of his career and realize that if this is where he's going to play, and this is a community he wants to be a part of, is to take advantage of that. And by doing that, it only gives him greater advantages to not only become a better quarterback for our football team, but helps him become a better player in understanding this league. So, yeah, I think that's huge for him as well as us.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
Thank you. The next question is from Tim Baines with Pulse Media Network. Please go ahead.
Coach Moss, a couple of questions for you. What did you learn in your season as an offensive coordinator with the Red Blacks? And I'm wondering, was a distraction for you with all this stuff that was going on with the compensation issue? Was that a distraction for you at all?
The first question, what I'd learned. I mean, you learn something every year. Obviously, it was my first opportunity to become an offensive coordinator. So you're dealing with a bigger spectrum of players. It was the first time I actually got to install offense and run an offense. So those are the big things, and play calling. and then how to deal with offensive players. Also had a great opportunity to talk with Rick Campbell and develop a relationship with him and understand the game better, and then, you know, also just dealing with players in general. So it was a big learning curve for me last year in that respect as a coordinator. Your second question, was it a distraction? Not really. I mean, I was the furthest thing from my mind. It just kept getting brought up, so that was the only time I really knew about it. I was never really concerned that something would drastic would happen about it. I felt like I was always going to continue to stay the head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, and that was my major goal. But I certainly was hip to the fact and listening and hoping that we weren't going to have to give up any compensation, because it would ultimately hurt our club. And I definitely was one of the only reasons I kept paying attention to it.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. The next question is from Dave Campbell, 630 Chad Radio Edmonton. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Questions for Ed. With the draft coming up, and you're drafting in the eighth position in the first round, your approach from a general sense, are you looking to fill specific needs with that pick, and I guess with the draft in general, or are you in best player available mode?
Well, we're still in the process of evaluating the players at this point, but our philosophy still remains the same as far as the Canadian draft is concerned. You know, you build your team inside out first. You look to make sure that those holes are filled, and if you feel good about it, as far as age, durability, depth, who's coming in, who's coming back, you look at that, and then you go outward. And then the next step would be, if the best player available falls to you, how soon will you be able to get him? Is it a player that you can, you know, be without during the off or during training camp or during the season? You know, you take that kind of gamble. So you know, there's many factors that goes into the selection. You know, coach, you know, Jason and I will definitely discuss it and talk about it at length, and to make sure that we're addressing, you know, our needs, but also making sure that we don't pass on a player that could potentially help this club or help us in the future. So we're still in the evaluation process.
Is there a lot of unpredictability in the draft? And I go back to last year, a lot of people were surprised that Danny Grew fell to you and that he fell as far as he did. But is there a lot of uncertainty in the draft that can really maybe change things up at the last minute?
Every team has specific needs. You know, when you say someone, you get surprised at times in the draft, and you're surprised at who teams pick sometimes. Sometimes you're surprised when there's a trade at the top of the draft. I mean, but, you know, we pretty much stick to, you know, who we're going to select. Were we fortunate to get a guy like Danny Grew at a time where we needed an offensive lineman? Yes. Do I believe that there'll be surprises at this draft? I mean, that remains to be seen. I mean, we're selecting eighth overall, so, I mean, there's a lot of action that could happen prior to our pick. But, you know, in the end, when we get to the eighth pick, if there's someone there that, you know, we're surprised that's there and he fits what we're doing and we believe he can help improve our football team, we will select him.
And a question for Jason. Can you tell me about the conversations that you've had already with Mike Benavides and what a, you know, what kind of a valuable asset he has been so far for you heading into the season?
The conversations are ongoing with Mike. I mean, we talk daily, sometimes a couple times a day. I mean, he's a world full of knowledge. He's got a bunch of it, having been in the league for as long as he has and coached for as long as he has. And, you know, he's done everything from special teams to defense coordinator, defensive position coach to head coach. And he's been successful at every step. So, you know, I definitely rely on him. As far as what we talk about, we talk football and we talk about strategy and different things, but he's also helped me, you know, with every decision we make. You know, it doesn't really matter. It's just everything is football operations, or football operations in our department. You know, he'll always have an opinion and always value his opinion.
Thanks, Jen. See you soon.
Thank you. The next question is from Graham Kelly of Medicine Hat News. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Ed, the Eskimos are a great organization, and you're the Grey Cup champions. You could have had anybody as your head coach. Why did you pick Jason Moss?
Well, I mean, the list is too long to go through that right now. But I'll say in brief, I've had a long history with Jason as a player. I've had a chance to, watch him from afar as a coach when he was with the Argonauts and the Red Blacks. But see, I also had the advantage of being a teammate of his and being in the meeting rooms with him and recognizing the fact his understanding of the CFL game. And you learn pretty quick when you're in the locker room and you're in meeting rooms, those who can and those who may struggle. And I think it was pretty evident, at least for me, that Jason was going to be one of those guys that was going to be successful at whatever he did. But if he chose to get into coaching, that he would have an enormous amount of knowledge to be able to give to players, his ability to articulate what he is seeing and what his message is would be, his ability to teach. And I think that you take all that and you compile it with giving guys an opportunity. I mean, that's what we've done here over the last several years. We've given players and coaches and everyone opportunities, and they've taken those opportunities and taken them to new heights. And I feel the same way about Jason. I think it's important for people to recognize that he and I are friends. But I've hired people that haven't known. I've been worked with people that I just met, and this was a good fit not only for our organization, but it was a good fit for myself and my comfort level with Jason.
Jason, you've gone from an expansion team to the coach of the Grey Cup champions. Is that kind of scary, starting at the top?
To be quite honest, no. I mean, I know what I'm getting into. Having played here before, I understand the expectations of Edmonton. And, that was the one question, talking to several other people in my close-knit circle, that was the one question that came up. It seems like it's the perfect job for you. It's a dream job, to be honest with you, for myself. The one question that kept coming up is, are you nervous about taking over, a Grey Cup championship team? And when I said no, I knew it was the right job for me. I think it's a great opportunity. Ed's assembled a great team, a great staff, and I know what kind of organization we are here. I just want to be a part of that. And there's pressure every year in Edmonton to win. I mean, I know everyone's goal is that, but it is true here. I mean, and I want to be a part of that. When you take over a defending Grey Cup champion, that means you have some quality people here. And, I look forward to that challenge and building on that culture, that they've established here and continuing winning.
Jason, finally, what are the major questions that need to be answered in training camp?
Well, right now, I mean, we have some holes, to fill, with some, defensive backs, for sure, and then ultimately at that point from there, it's really just the battles at every position, to make certain that you have the right fit. So right now you could say, we lost a couple guys in our secondary, and that's probably the first and foremost battles that everyone will pay attention to. But I just look at it as a whole. I mean, we're all competing for jobs, and getting on the same page with the philosophy differences with the new coaches. And that's basically our first objective.
Thank you and good luck.
Thank you. The following question is from Jim Morris, CFL.ca. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking the time, gentlemen. Jason, you talked about taking over the role of the offensive coordinator. I mean, obviously, the Eskimo offense was very productive last year. Do you tweak it? Do you resist the urge to change things around? Or I guess what is your philosophy of taking over that offense this year?
Well, the offensive philosophy probably is similar in the fact that we run the same system or a basically a similar system with Steve McAdoo having been here, and we were part of Scott Milanovich's system in Toronto together. So the system's familiarity with our players will be the same. The differences will be the tempo. I mean, we run an up-tempo offense, so everything we do is strictly out, no huddle. That'll be the change. Now, am I resistant to that based on the fact that they huddled a lot last year and they were very good? No, because I feel like, you know, we felt like we were successful in Ottawa running a similar system, just making it faster, and felt like that can be an advantage for us with the type of players we have. They already know the system. Now it's just about making it quicker, making the defense put more pressure on them. So, you know, there's going to be nothing that we're worried about in those respects.
And I guess for you personally, and I'm sure you've been asked about this, but it's like a full circle for you. Like, you played for this team. Now you're going to be the head coach of this team. Like you said, Ed talked about you were teammates with your general manager. What's that thoughts like being back to sort of where it started for you?
I mean, I couldn't be more excited about it. I'm very thankful for the opportunity that Ed's provided me. You know, I've longed, in my grand scheme of thinking, it was always to get back to Edmonton at some point. And obviously this was a dream job for me. Personally, I always looked at this job as the best in the CFL, and I just wanted to be a part of it one day, and very thankful it happened earlier in my coaching career. Like I said, thankful for that opportunity, and it feels great to be back and a part of this great organization once again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to bring me back over to Mr. Lucas Barrett. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, everyone. We have time for two more questions. So if there's anyone else who would like to ask a question to Ed or Jason, please do so now.
Thank you. As a final reminder, if you have a question, please press star one. We have a question from Jeff Kriver at CFL.ca. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, this question's for Jason. You just mentioned some up-tempo stuff and possibly some no huddle. I seem to remember when you were there with the Argos, you guys started out with that a little bit 1 year or two and then went away with it. I mean, what are the challenges of running no huddle? Because, I mean, you're basically putting your defense on the field more in that instance too, right? Does it involve more conditioning on both sides of the ball? Just what are the challenges there?
Well, that's one of the challenges if you're not very good at it. I mean, you basically got to be fully committed to it. That's the bottom line. If you are two and out a lot, yeah, your defense goes on the field. But if you stay on the field, you know, like we did last year, you end up controlling most of the game anyways. And now you're on the field more often than your defense is. So time of possession could still be in your favor, even though you do no huddle. So I don't really look at it as a problem. You just got to be committed to it. Your players got to be committed to it. And the bottom line is you have to be able to run your whole entire offense through it. You can't just be clips of your offense. So your whole offense has to be able to be ran through it.
Okay, thanks, Jason.
Thank you. And Mr. Barrett, sir, we have no further questions registered.
Thanks, John. I'd like to thank Ed and Jason for taking the time today to speak to everyone. Just a reminder for the media who are on the call, the series will continue tomorrow with the Ottawa Redblacks. On the call, we'll have General Manager Marcel Desjardins, as well as Head Coach Rick Campbell. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. The conference is now ended. Please disconnect your line at this time. Thank you for your participation.